To the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, as always, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. Tonight we have also with us Frank Briscoe, who's running the board in the chat room tonight. He's the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. Tonight we're airing from KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, and also we're airing on the internet at the Gospel Radio Network, as well as the Gospel or the GospelPlaylist.org. And we want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. The number to call if you'd like to get involved in the discussion tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to remind you tonight that we have some listeners that have been listening here lately from the good country of India. We're thankful that you've been listening, and we hope that the things that we say will be of benefit to you, and also an encouragement to you as well. We want to remind you also of a book that I would like to mention. It's a book that has been written by David Harris. The title is No Whining at Papa's House. And it's a book about David as he's gone through his cancer and bone marrow transplant. It's a book that tells his story. It's a book that also tells you of the great encouragement that God's Word can provide for you. I highly recommend this book to you. We need to remember that this is a book that is only $5. And if you'd like to have a copy of it, all you have to do is go to the Harrison Moore website, and there will be a link there that you can go to. You punch it, and you'll go right to where you need to order the book. And so, at the price for $5, usually a book like this costs about $14. And you can buy several of them and give them to perhaps to someone who is struggling with cancer, or maybe someone who's struggling with various difficulties in life. Again, No Whining at Papa's House by David Harris. Now, we want to remind you tonight of our sponsors. Not only are we sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, but we're also being sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ located in Santo, Texas. Now, our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, listen to what the Bible has to say.
Amen.
Concerning our program tonight, we'd also like to encourage you to visit our website, harrisonmoore.org. There at the website, there are also archived programming, but also you can also sign up for the podcast that you can listen to this program at any time that you'd want to at your convenience. We might also add that this program will be rebroadcast on Tuesday, that is tomorrow, at 7 a.m. on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, the number to call tonight if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now tonight, David, we're talking about a very timely subject, I believe, and the title of our lesson for tonight and the thoughts that we want to bring to you is By Their Fruits You Will Know Them. And that's something that people seem to not really get a grasp on. The idea of we are what we do. You know, sometimes people want to say, I am something, but they don't really live up to what they say.
Right. And tonight, our purpose is to use Scripture and show people out there how Scripture identifies a Christian. And that's what we would like to get out tonight, is how the Scripture identifies a Christian. And of course, by producing our fruit, that is the main way that we're going to see that this falls into place. But you and I were talking along with Frank and Eric here in the studio before we ever started, about the difference in what some people believe is a Christian and mm-hmm. what the Bible teaches as a Christian. And basically, there are those who claim to be a Christian under any circumstances, and then there are those who obey the gospel plan of salvation that is given by God that will guarantee that we become a Christian. And then there are those who have become Christians and so sin and turn their back on God to reject His word, and they fail in their faithfulness to their Christianity.
You know, and there's another thing that I just thought of, David, that we hadn't really batted around much. There are some who might not even know what a Christian is.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They wouldn't even know the first thing, and they don't claim to know mm-hmm. the first thing about mm-hmm. becoming a Christian.
Yeah, well, so, Tom, I think maybe we need to begin this program tonight by reading what Jesus Christ has said, and this will fall right into our motto. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And in many, many instances, you read... And you hear people talking, especially, they have this idea that everybody is going to heaven. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I've never been to a funeral yet where anybody made it to hell.
You know, especially even some of the worst heathens I ever seen in my life are preached by many denominational preachers right into heaven.
Well, every single obituary that you read either has people not going anywhere or they're going to heaven, but and the essence of the thought of today is everybody, some way, somehow, is going to make it to heaven regardless of what they've done here on this earth or what they didn't do here on this earth.
Despite all the times the Bible mentions hell
yes.
and being faithful,
yes.
and things of that nature.
Well, if you have your Bibles ready, I would ask that you turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read the words of Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, tonight we would like to invite those of you who are listening to us on the Internet. We understand that we've got a new signal. We may be hampered a little bit by the weather tonight, and it may not come in crystal clear, but if you'll tune to 97.7 KATX out of Eastland, you will pick it up here in Stephenville. And if you want to listen on the radio instead of on the computer, you can do that. But we highly recommend that if you are on the computer, get on the chat box. If you're not on the computer, pick up the telephone and give us your thoughts, your comments, and your questions.
You know, David, you can also listen on the radio and also be on the chat box.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can. So in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 21, what we're trying to establish here is a misconception that a lot of people have, that everybody somehow, some way is going to heaven. Now, this is what Jesus has to say about people that are not going to make it. He's talking about people that are lost, and yet people that say that they know Jesus the Christ from the heart. Mm-hmm. He says here in verse number 21 of Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, Tom, that word Lord means master, as in the master-servant relationship. When somebody calls Jesus Lord, that means you are my master. You tell me what to do. I am your servant, and I will do it. Hmm. He says, not everybody that says unto me, Lord.
There's that word says.
Uh-huh, says.
You know, a lot of people, when they claim Jesus as their Lord, they're going to be willing to do what their Lord says.
Absolutely.
But here's one that just simply, perhaps, here is just saying the mm-hmm. word. You know, again, our actions speak louder than our words.
Absolutely. So, Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, there he makes the great separation. Mm-hmm. It's between those who do and those who don't do. And
there's that word but. It's a contrast.
Yes.
It contrasts those who are simply saying
uh-huh.
and those who are doing.
Right. And so there's got to be action involved here in some way, form, or fashion, according to what Jesus has told us. And then he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, there are a lot of things that I'd like to pull out of this, Tom, and we'll kick this thing around a little bit. First of all, he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? Now, we're talking about individuals who in the first century, you can read about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. They have been given miraculous powers through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, to prophesy God's word, because at this particular time the word wasn't written, to cast out devils, and that was used to create faith in people that were there. And then also, he says they're doing many wonderful works, which encompasses all of these miraculous gifts that were given in the first century that we no longer have today, because we've got the written word and we no longer need them. But these individuals were special kind of individuals that got these miraculous powers. And now we see even they can come up there and say, Lord,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
And so we can look at that from two angles, David. Here are some men who had this miraculous power at one point in their life, but now they have drifted so far away that they're looking at what they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
How many Christians have you seen, David, who are people who claim to be religious, talk about, well, back in the day when I was doing this and
right.
doing that? You know, I know several people where I preach who at one time were faithful
mm-hmm.
and done many wonderful works, but now they're unfaithful. And you can look at this also, David, from the aspect many will say. A lot of people say they do things, but in reality, they're not doing them at all.
Right.
And then notice also, David, that as I was looking at this, on that day, many. Isn't it interesting that just a few verses earlier, in Matthew 7, verses 13 through mm-hmm. 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, it's interesting, Dave, when you look at the Scripture, the totality of the Scripture, a few are faithful, and the most are unfaithful.
Yes. And this is something that is repeated by Jesus over and over and over again, as we're going to see as we go through this evening. What our purpose here this evening is to identify who is a Christian according to the Scriptures, not according to people who profess to be preachers or man or anybody else, but who is a Christian according to the Scriptures. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. Perhaps we've hit a nerve with a lot of people, and we want to hear from you. If you've got a comment to make, if you've got a question to answer or to ask, we will give you a biblical answer, a scriptural answer for your question, if you'll just pick up the phone and call 1-855-QA-Bible. That's 1-855-QA-Bible. It's a toll-free phone number. All you have to do is just call, give us your first name. We're not going to ask you to give us your whole name if you don't want to. We'd love to be able to contact you later. But if you just want to give us your first name, that's fine. You can remain anonymous. We just need to know something to call you by. So it's 1-855-QA-Bible. Give us a call. Let us know what you think here.
You know, David Denny mentioned something on the chat box that really ties into what we've been talking about here with regard to people who claim to be a Christian, who don't know who a Christian is. All the people are saved. Then he says that many times on Facebook, someone will say, rest in peace, for a celebrity, even though they were nothing Christ-like about them, nothing godly about them in their lives, but they say, rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by that, they're insinuating that they're going to be in a blissful state of heaven.
Right.
And so, again, there's that misconception that not knowing what the Bible has to say about faithfulness and unfaithfulness, what God considers Christian and what the world considers Christian. You know, and evidently, there are a lot of people, David, who have no idea, who think nothing about heaven as compared to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about heaven, nothing about hell. And the problem is because people don't know what the Bible has to say. It's a lot easier, more pleasant to always think about heaven, right?
Yes.
And you know, you've seen some of the most ungodly men, celebrities, who have perhaps passed by in recent days, and people just ooh and ah over them and say, yeah, but they did a lot of good things here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
See, they have a misconception of what's really important in life.
Right.
And rest in peace is nothing but universalism when they have that mentality.
Right. So tonight, there's an awful lot of confusion about who is a Christian. And what we're going to see here is, Tom, that the Bible teaches that a Christian is always going to produce fruit of a Christian. Now, some people may be confused about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to break this thing down just as far as we can break it down, and let somebody know just exactly who is a Christian and how it is that we are supposed to act like a Christian.
What we got to realize then is that when we think about this idea of a Christian, we need to realize that the fruit that we need, you know, we talk about what is by their fruits, ye shall know them. Well, when we think about the idea of fruit, first of all, we need to think about literal fruit. A tree bears fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a tree, like, for example, a peach tree bears what kind of fruit?
Peach.
Peach, you know.
Every time.
Like every time. Now, if a peach tree does not bear peaches, that tree is not much value, is it?
No. If it's barren.
Uh-huh.
No peaches whatsoever.
And so when we think about this idea of fruit and what we bear, we've got to realize also bearing fruit is another way of saying the way we live our lives,
right.
the manner of life in which we live. And sometimes the Bible talks about our Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bearing fruit and our Christian walk all has to do with activity. It is the what we do as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we're known, for example, David, you can look at, let's say you've got a plumber. He is known by what?
By the work that he does.
You look at a plumber and you don't say, well, that my guy must be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do that. Or when you look at a guy who's riding a horse, well, that guy must be a carpenter. No, we know them by what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And in like manner, we are known as Christians by what we do. Now, what we've got to do, though, David, and we're going to be doing this as we go through this study, is defining what that is.
Right.
Because the world has a different idea as to what it is to be a Christian and to bear fruit.
Yeah. So I understand we've got a little echo going on in the studio here. We'll get that fixed in just a moment as we continue on with our lesson today. Again, while we're working on this, I'd like to remind you the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, and we want to hear your questions, your comments. You've heard what men have had to say. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. there are a lot of confusion as to who is right before God. And I think that is a, I think that's a statement that we need to address here. Who is right before God? That means who is righteous before God, who is who has the knowledge of God in them to be able to do what is right that God requires of all of His followers mm-hmm. to do. There yeah. are some things that we have to do.
Yeah, and, you know, and the problem is, David, that a lot of people don't really care uh-huh. what God has to say. It's a lot easier for people to do things their own way, and so some people think, well, you know what? As long as I believe in God and I don't beat my wife and I'm good to my kids, mm-hmm. that's all that really matters.
Right.
Well, that's a good thing. It's good to be a good husband. It's good to be a good father. But there's a lot more to being a Christian than just that.
Right. And you know, good works according to the world and good works according to God, they're going to be two different things here. Mm-hmm. Doing the works and the will of God is different than just doing good according to society in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to keep that in mind as well. So tonight, as we go through this discussion.
All right. So tonight we're talking about by their fruits you shall know them. There are a lot of people, David, that do not understand what a Christian is. And there are a lot of people who are claiming to be a Christian. And we'll talk about this sometime later. Even President Obama claims to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Well, is he? By their fruits you shall know them.
And that's a good question to throw out there to our listening public. What do you think Obama is? Do you think he's a Muslim? Do you think he's a Christian? What does his action tell us that he actually is here?
You know, it's not what you say you are.
Uh-huh.
It's the fruit that you bear that proclaims what you really are.
Right.
Now, the number to call tonight is 1-855-Q-A-Bible. That's 1-855-Q-A-Bible. We're talking tonight about bearing fruit. And what is it about a Christian? How do we know who is a Christian and who is not?
Well, you know, according to some statistics that you can get your hands on, there are approximately 159 million people in the United States of America who actually claim that they are Christians. That's about 75% of our population who claim that they are Christian. There's another statistic out there says that 90 million of those 150 million attend some kind of worship service every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a lot of people out there that claiming that they are Christians, but are they really Christian just because they claim to be so? I mean, if half of New York moved to Texas and claimed that they were Texans and they said, I am a Texan, I wouldn't believe them based upon the fact that they haven't lived here to be one. You know, mm-hmm. just because you beat on your chest and point up in the air and say, I'm a Texan, or you beat on your chest and point up in the air and say, I'm a Christian, there's got to be something about that that would determine who you really are.
Okay, let's ask this question, David. Can you be a Christian and live shacked up with a woman, not being married to her? You claim to be a Christian. Can I live as a Christian and really live that lifestyle?
Well, if you do, you will have no fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't just throw that out there, but if you look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The kicker there is if you walk in the light. Now, mm-hmm. walking in the light is a manner of life. Mm-hmm. Walking in the light as opposed to walking in the darkness of the world, it's a manner of life. And if you walk in the light, then you're going to have access to that blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who will cleanse us from all sin. And so the answer to your question is, as long as an individual is living in darkness by being shacked up and committing heterosexual fornication or homosexual fornication or adultery, however you want to call it, as long as they are living that lifestyle, what they have done is rejected the word of God, and they have turned their back on God. It's not that God has turned their back on them.
Well, put these through your mind, David. A Christian homosexual, a Christian murderer, a Christian drunkard, a Christian pedophile, a Christian Muslim. You know, when you think about those things, are those things possible to live truly as a Christian should, as the Bible dictates?
Well, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall also perish. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Except you repent. So you get back to the Christian homosexual. You've got to repent of that homosexuality before you can actually be the Christian.
And so it's not just a matter of saying you are something. And again, if all you have to do is live by what you say, well, I can say, you know what, I want to, I just say, well, if you just raise cows, you're a Christian. You know, I have just as much right to say that as one who is a pedophile claiming to be living a Christian life.
Right.
You know, but what is our standard, though? It's not what you think or what I think. Remember, you have heard what men have said. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. It's the Bible that is that which tells us what a Christian is and also how a Christian is to live.
Well, let's not forget this one very important fact here also, Tom. A Christian's goal and a Christian's focus is to make his journey through this world and get to heaven. That is the journey, that is the focus of someone who claims to be a Christian. Now, whatever I've got to do on that journey, whatever I've got to do in order to keep myself focused on the end result, which is going to heaven, that is exactly what I am going to have to do, or it's just not going to happen.
You know, one thing, David, I think we need to mention that there's two items here that we are tying together. There are some who claim to be Christian who are not. There are others who are Christian and who are not living like a Christian ought to. Now, those are two different scenarios, and we're going to be delving into that. Denny mentioned something about that on the chat box here, and he's exactly right. There are those who are Christian from a biblical perspective, as God says you become one, and then there are those who have become Christians in that way but are not living in that way. So we have Christians who are faithful, biblical Christians. You may have some Christians who are biblically become such, but who are no longer living the way they ought to as a Christian, and therefore they're not bearing good fruit.
Right. And then you have that other segment of our society that just claim they are whatever they want to claim that they are, and they can claim to be Christians if they want to, but that doesn't make them so.
Exactly right.
And so we're going to look at all of these different scenarios as we go through this lesson today, and it doesn't look like we're going to get through with this lesson because so far we have just introduced the lesson to our listening audience. And again, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. We would encourage you to call in and give us your comments or give us your questions. We will give you a Bible answer. And so the what we want to put out there today is fruit, the Christian fruit. And we've mentioned what it is. It's a way of life. It's a walk of life. It is something that you produce by the way that you live, in the same way that a tree would produce the fruits that it's supposed to produce. And so we produce what we produce as Christians because we are right according to God's word, and no other way can we be the right producers of the way that we live and the way that we are unless we take God's standard and live by it.
Exactly. And really, David, one of the ways to really prove this point is to go to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, mm-hmm. here Jesus is making a contrast between one who is wise and one who is foolish. We might also use it in terms of this way, one who is bearing fruit and one who is not bearing mm-hmm. fruit. One who is living the Christian life and one who is not.
One who is walking in the light and one who is living in the darkness.
Exactly. So in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You know, David, we have two things contrasted here. We have a wise man and a foolish man.
Mm-hmm.
David, what was the difference between these two individuals?
Well, the great separator between the wise and the foolish, it will never, ever end. And it is the difference, the great separator is he that does the will of God the Father. If we do the will of the Father, it means, Tom, that we've got to know the will of the Father. We just can't suppose something and make a supposition that God is going to be pleased here with what I do. We've got to know better than that. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at passages like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed." In other words, in order for us to be approved of God, we've got to know his will. No, mm-hmm. nobody goes to heaven unknowingly mm-hmm. except babies and infants that don't know any difference.
Exactly. But wait a minute, David. There's going to be somebody out there, and a great number of people are going to say, "Well, wait a minute, David, you're preaching salvation by works. Don't you know that the Bible teaches that we're saved by faith only?" There are going to be a lot of people right now who are thinking that very thing. That
we'd like for you to call in if that's what you believe.
Exactly.
But please
right.
do.
There are a lot of people who believe that, you know, and I've had plenty of discussion with people who said, you know, works is we're not saved by any works whatsoever, but we're saved by faith and the grace of God only. Well, is that not a case, David, where again we have people who misunderstand the scriptures, who do not know what the scriptures teach?
Mm-hmm.
Because how clearer can you get than what Jesus said right here? "He that doeth the will of my Father," verse 21.
That calls for action.
Exactly. You know, when we think about this idea of faith only, you know, there are a lot of people who think that you're a Christian if you only believe in Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the book of James at chapter 2 and verse 24. It's interesting, isn't it, David, that the only place in all the Bible where it says faith only, it says what? "We're not saved
by faith alone. As a matter of fact, just before that, if I'm not mistaken, he tells us even the devils
verse
have
19,
faith.
Exactly right.
Even the devils have faith. And we know good and well that they're not going to be in heaven. They can't stand before God.
How many times there in James 2 does it say that faith without works is dead?
Right, right.
And so, again, you have heard what men have said. Listen to what the Bible has to say. What is the great thing, David, that separated the wise man from the foolish man? Both of them heard the word of God, didn't
mm-hmm.
they? But what was the separating factor there?
He that did the will of the Father.
Exactly.
And that will is revealed. There are no mysteries here in this book. There are no doctrinal mysteries that we've got to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
We are told everything that we ever needed to know. And we know that by reading several different scriptures. One of them would be 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, which says, "According to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that is called us to glory and virtue. And one of the key things that we have to reflect on here is everything that you wanted to know about godliness, everything that you wanted to know about life is recorded in the Bible. It is recorded in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And without that knowledge, you can't know what is godly and what God requires of your life.
You know, another thing, David, as you look at that passage there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following, mm-hmm. that we sometimes brush over, that those who heard God's word and obeyed God's word, mm-hmm. when the storms of life came, they were able to endure it. And that gets me, David, mention your book again. David went through a bone marrow transplant, suffering through cancer. And David was able to get through that hardship in life because he not only heard God's word, but he obeyed God's word.
Amen.
You see, not only does being faithful to God help us to get to heaven, but it also helps us in this daily walk of life because we all go through various storms. Sometimes the storm is greater for some than others, but God's word helps us. But then, most importantly, being obedient to God's will helps us to avoid the storms of an eternal punishment.
And without that obedience, we cannot be a Christian.
Exactly.
Well, that is one of the keys here to the wise man and the foolish man. It is an absolutely foolish thing to go through this life without being obedient to God's will mm-hmm. that he has revealed to us. And we have no excuse not to know this. And yet many denominational bodies refuse to study God's word, either because they feel that they have done everything that they need to do, such as the Catholics do when they are converted, or the denominational bodies when they are told that all you got to do is let Jesus come into your heart, and after that the grace of God is going to take over and you won't have to worry about anything for the rest of your life. You can't be lost. It doesn't make any difference how bad you sin. You cannot be lost.
And how many times, David, have you heard people say, well, all you need to do is say the sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. And yet I have not had one single person show me anywhere in the Bible where the sinner's prayer is found.
No.
Now, remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, tonight we're talking about by their fruits you will know them. You know, David, there are a lot of people in our world today who are confused about who a Christian is, or there's confusion as to who is right before God. And as you mentioned a moment ago, there are 159 million people who claim to be Christian. But who is a Christian and who is not? We have a lot of different views on that. Some people think that as long as you believe in God and you're good to your wife and good to your kids, that you're a good, faithful Christian. Other people think that if you're a benevolent mind, there are a lot of philanthropists in the world today that people just ooh and awe about them, and surely they're going to go to heaven. But what does the Bible have to say? That's the important issue, mm-hmm. is it not, as to who is and who is not living like a Christian?
Well, you and I, Tom, and Frank as well, we would all be guilty of misspeaking if we say, you know, in my opinion, mm-hmm. this is what I think a Christian is going to be, or I suppose that this individual is going to go to heaven. What we need to understand is God unequivocally tells us who exactly is going to heaven and who is not. And it's not that difficult to figure it out.
And that's where a lot of preachers, David, really miss the boat, because they preach too much opinion mm-hmm. and not enough, thus saith the Lord. Book, chapter, verse, preaching mm-hmm. is what we need in our world today. And yet that is becoming lesser and lesser a style of preaching that people
right.
want.
Right. And I blame preachers in a large sense for the moral demise of our country for failing to say what the Word of God has to say for fear that somebody's going to get run off out of the pew.
And then you have, think about the idea of Christians, David. You have people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, who claim to be ministers of the gospel, and the kind of lifestyle that they live. People think, well, look at that. That's a Christian life.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons that Christianity gets so much feedback. Saying, well, that's just hypocritical. That's the reason I don't go anywhere. Just a bunch of hypocrites down there sitting in the pew. It's not the hypocrites that are sitting in the pew that is the problem. It is the leadership in the church or in the denominational bodies out there that refuse to teach the truth. Mm-hmm. And until we know the truth, how in the world are we going to obey the truth,
Exactly.
Tom?
And we think about this idea, David, of some not really knowing what a Christian is. And I guess some people can just really be ignorant about that fact. But there are some people who simply make empty claims, of who they are. For example, in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say unto you that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remaineth forever. If so the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are offsprings of Abraham. You seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I see, my Father, and you do not have, you have not heard from your Father." Now, when we think about this, David, there are a lot of people who say that we are of the offspring of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
They were claiming to have some special privilege. They were making an empty claim. Well, hey, we're Jews, right?
Right.
And so we're right in the sight of God. Well, is it not true that some people in regard to Christianity make that same type of empty claim? Hey, I'm Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And think that's going to override all of the evil action that they're involved in just simply because they say, "I am a Christian."
That's very true. And I think one of the key issues here is what Jesus said again in verse number 31 when he says, "If," that's conditional, "if you continue in my word." Now, that doesn't mean speak it once and roll on with whatever you wanted to do. That means retain it in your life. If you continue in my word, put the word there and retain that walk. You walk in it and you retain that word in your mind, and you allow your mind to guide your body and not your body to guide your mind.
So it's the word of God that decides whether or not you are a disciple or not, and not what you think or what somebody else said or what somebody else told you.
Exactly. Frank?
Okay. In the same passage you're talking about, David, in verse 37, he says, "Because my word hath not free course in you." In other words, they were not letting his word accomplish what it was meant to accomplish. They wasn't listening to it. A little bit later, he said, "Because you cannot hear my word." Well, it was not the inability to audibly hear what he was saying. It was their willingness and determination not to listen to what he was saying. And so many times in our world today, insofar as being a Christian is concerned, or talking about Christian, they don't let the Word of God have free course. They don't listen to what it says. You were mentioning a moment ago about faith and where faith comes from. Too many people would like to base their faith upon what I think rather than upon what God says. And so his word has to have its free course. We have to let it accomplish what God intended.
Exactly. And those are very good comments. Now, the number to call, if you'd like to get in on this discussion, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It's a toll-free call. We'll pick up the call. You can call us. We'll pick up the tab on it. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. When you said there just a moment ago, Frank, that it does not have free course in them, they have refused to apply the word to their lives. And that's what we're actually talking about here, is it not? Well, making the application of God's word to your life so that you can walk in the light.
You know, to the same people, Jesus on another occasion said that they'd stopped up their ears mm-hmm. and shut their eyes. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to see what he had. And they didn't want to hear what he had to say. You've been preaching for a long time. You have had discussions, I'm sure, with people that when you turn to God's word, they say, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when people don't want to hear it, they will not hear it.
Well,
remember several years ago when we were discussing a topic similar to this mm-hmm. on the radio, we had a lady call in by the name of Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
And she was disagreeing with us, and so we read the passage, mm-hmm. and she says, yeah, I know what the Bible says about that, but I don't agree with it.
Exactly.
That's the mentality of a lot of people in the world.
That call themselves Christians.
They call themselves Christians.
Well, I had, and this has happened on several different occasions. A man came into my office, and he wanted to know what God had to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And about what to do if you were in a marriage that was considered to be adulterous and not according to God's will. And I showed him what the Bible had to say, and I said, you got to get out of that marriage. And he looked at me for just a moment. He says, I know what that says, but I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we got here? You know, we got people say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but the Word of God has nothing to do with me, because if I don't like what it has to say in one particular area, then I'm just not going to do it. But we'll just exclude that area and just pretend like God isn't going to count that because I like it and he's going to leave me alone here.
You know, if we start that mentality, David, that's just going to continue to grow, and more things we're going to find that we don't agree with mm-hmm. and so we're going to ignore. And that we're going down a very deadly trail when we do that.
Absolutely.
You know, so many times, the sad ending of that, I had a discussion with an individual. He was a denominational preacher. And we had the discussion was on the subject of baptism. And he finally made the statement, if you can show me one scripture, one place in the Bible where it says baptism saves us, I'll believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But we turned and read what Peter had to say. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. And he made two statements. He said, number one, I didn't know that was in the Bible. But his second statement was, when the Bible disagrees with what I feel right here, he patted himself on his chest. He said, then I have to say the Bible's wrong.
Well, and why have a Bible then?
Throw it away.
If we simply go by what we feel, what feels right in our heart,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that, a murderer murders because he thinks it's the right thing to do at the given time?
Mm-hmm.
A pedophile molests little children because they think it's the right thing to do?
Yeah.
It's what they feel. We get back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of who?
My Father.
My Father, which is in heaven. Now, you can call that works-oriented salvation if you want to. I call it faithful obedience to the commands of God.
No doubt about it.
Because those were the words of Jesus.
No doubt about it. And when we come to realize the truth of God's word, it may be hard for us to take if, in fact,
Tom,
we have...
Tom, we've got a phone call. Would you take it?
Yes. Give us your name and your number, please, or your question.
Okay. My name is Rodney Long.
Yes.
And I've been listening to Church of Christ preaching on the Gospel Network for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to find a home, church home somewhere.
Yes.
and you know, they're talking about whether or not you know you're saved.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand, you know, I've even went and visited the local Church of Christ. I ran from that place like 5 minutes after I talked to the preacher.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And
I
where
mean,
are you, where
I'm here on the radio. Okay?
Where are you from, Rodney?
I'm from
area.
Alabama.
From Alabama. Well, you know,
yes.
You know, let me mention something about that, Rodney. Just because a building says Church of Christ does not always mean they're following what God has to say. You know, there are a lot of people, again, who claim to be Christian who aren't Christians. There are a lot of people who claim to be...
No joke. I used to be one. I know.
Yeah. And so...
Actually, I was a minister. Uh-huh. In two denominations.
Uh-huh.
And then I got saved, if you want to call it that, and I couldn't be a minister anymore.
Okay.
Because, I got saved in my backyard by myself.
How did you get saved?
How did I get saved?
Yes.
I committed suicide.
You committed suicide. All right, you must be speaking metaphorically. How did you commit suicide?
357 Magnum to the brain. Right here, I'm looking at the place it happened.
No.
But before I pulled the trigger, okay, because I was checking out for a good reason, because my family was about to lose everything, and I had a huge life insurance policy, and it would have saved all, you know, my life, my kids, and all that stuff. So thinking I was a saved person, I decided to give God everything I had, because I was checking out. You know, it was up to him to take care of my wife and my kids. And I threw the gun up to my head. I went about, I don't know, 10 feet, hit a chain link fence, was paralyzed, couldn't move a muscle. And for 2.5 hours, I laid there, and my life kind of flashed through me. Through my mind, except it was everybody that had ever done anything bad to me. I saw it happen again, and I forgave them. Don't know why I did it, but I did it. It took 2.5 hours, and as that was happening, real warm feeling was coming through my body. I knew I was dying. You know, finally, this is it. It's over. And then all of a sudden, I felt a joy and a peace that was unbelievable, and I could move my hand. And I got up, and the bullet hole that had been running into my eye was gone. And I've never had a single thing against a single person in the last 36 years.
So you're saying that you shot yourself in the head.
Yep.
And
yep, sure did.
You fell down, and then you were saved, yep, and the bullet hole was gone?
Yep.
I have to mention, I'm kind of...
I know.
How
I know it's a toughie, buddy. I don't know. I don't recommend it to anybody. this is not it, but it's.
Let me tell you something, Rodney. Instead of me believing what you say about how you were saved, I'm just going to have to get back to what the Bible has to say, and the Bible has nothing to say.
Wait a second. Jesus said something in there. It's in the Bible.
All right. Give it
to
me.
Say you believe in Jesus, right?
Yes. All right, come on.
Correct?
Come on.
Jesus said, he who believes in me, not only the things I've been doing shall he do, but even greater things than thee shall he do. Mm-hmm. How's that working out for you?
Well, you know, he also said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Oh, now wait a minute. Now, I was baptized after all this. Mm-hmm. You know, went through.
So, but you said you were saved before baptism. Jesus says you're saved
actually,
when baptism.
If you want to get technical about
being saved,
okay, technically, nobody is saved until they cross over, technically.
No, that's
because
not true. Rodney, excuse me.
People can fall away, right?
Yeah, let me correct you first of all. You've got a false premise to start with. People are not saved. People are saved when they are obedient to the gospel plan of salvation that is outlined and given to us in the Bible. Not when they cross over, But when they
Now wait a second. The scripture says when Peter said did his best preaching in the world. I mean, it was the greatest sermon ever.
Okay, you're talking about Acts chapter 2.
That they were being saved, B-E-I-N-G, saved. They didn't say they were saved. It was added to the number being saved. I looked throughout the whole scriptures many times, and I can find no place where it says somebody was saved. It's they're being saved. And Jesus said, you must remain in me. You know, he had a lot of people following him for a long time till he turned around and said to them, you must, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Mm-hmm. And they turned away.
Okay, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. You know, it's saved. You're saved when you are baptized. You're asking for a passage that states that. That's what that passage states.
All right, so everybody that's ever been saved or baptized in a church of Christ is going to heaven.
No, where everybody that has been saved according to the revealed will of God
and remains faithful.
So you got to remain faithful to be saved.
Absolutely.
That's correct, right?
Absolutely.
That's correct. I agree with that 100%, 1,000%. That, you know, and what I do is I follow Christ. I mean, I gave up millions of dollars. I've done a lot of things, and because it's not in money. And all I do is I read the scripture and I witness to people. But I don't go attend a church because I can't find one that truly believes what it says. Like, I understand from you guys, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a direct effect on people anymore.
Correct. It works on us through the Word of God.
Well, wait a second. Which Word of God? The Word of God of John 1:1?
The Word of God found in the New Testament.
The Word of God found in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God?
Right.
Well, that's
the Word of God that I know.
Well, you can't just take one little passage out of there. What about the rest of the New Testament?
Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I called them by name. Have you seen your name, him calling you in the Bible?
Have you seen your name in there?
Yes.
Where is it?
I have.
Where's your name?
Wait a minute. You're breaking up. No. I heard his voice and he called me by name.
Well,
I heard his voice and he called me by name.
Rodney, we're going to run out of time before we get this discussion done. We would invite you to
I would like to talk to you off the air, you know, just whenever. And I'm looking, you know, you show me where I'm wrong, really show me. And, buddy, I'll be on a Church of Christ in a New York heartbeat.
Okay.
Well, Rodney, let me give you our email address. It's questions.
Hang on just a second.
Right.
I'm going to get to a pen. All right. Are you still there?
Yeah, it's questions, plural, QUESTIONS, at Harrisonmore. Or no. How is it? Questions at harrisonmore.org.
That's it.
Questions at harrisonmore.org. That will go to David's email address and to my email address, and we'll be happy to discuss more on this with you. And you're also welcome to call us back next week, and we'll do more talking this way.
And we're going to be looking at the very same subject matter next week. So we'll be listening for you. Call a little bit earlier where we don't run out of time, Rodney. It's been a pleasure talking to you. We're going to run out of time. They're going to take us off the air any moment now. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Thank you for listening. Read your Bibles.
Amen.